this is why they put
the please everyone, just one word. This will be the lightning talk session. If any of you wants to join and talk about his or her project for a couple of minutes, that's the last call, because we will be starting very shortly with the first presentation about Athenat project right now. We have currently 5 lightning talks. If you want to join, please keep your talk shorter than, let's say, 8 to 10 minutes maximum. Reach me if you have something for us and else enjoy the lightning talks in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a remote for that? Or?
I have this and the remote there.
And the what?
The remote.
Ah, I don't have it. Wait. Sure don't. There.
The first one is the pointer and previews the next.
Uh-huh. Okay, hello. So I come from a new project. We call the Athena Project Athena. We have a bit of confusion with Intel, but we're not from Intel, just to clarify. We've had a couple complaints about that. Doesn't work. So, what is it? So it's a virtual world similar to Second Life or VR chat. It was created by the company High Fidelity, was started by Philip Rosedale, who created Second Life originally. And after he left Second Life, he went on to create a new world, which he called High Fidelity. And kind of the idea of that is that what's high fidelity representation of reality, kind of. Understand it. It's not about audio. The commercial project is almost entirely open source, in that there are just a couple bits missing. There's an audio codec, which we've already replaced. And there are central services which manage user accounts, but are pretty trivial and actually optional. So that's not that big a deal. It died, unfortunately, a couple of weeks ago, mostly because of management reasons. I think the technology is actually quite promising, but, well, they didn't really have much of a business model and had trouble finding users. In some ways, the very attractive to me nature of the project works against business interests because it's extremely distributed, extremely open, and so you can't really make anybody pay any money for it. Not quite sure how he convinced people to give him money for that, but we're very lucky, so we're not going to say no to it. Once it died, we've picked it up, we've mirrored all the documentation, all the content that there was, and we are continuing development. So, what is it? It's a fully distributed, scalable virtual world. What do I mean by that? You can run your own server anywhere, like Linode or any other provider. Each server itself is composed of different pieces, like, for instance, the audio mixer, which it's an environment with an audio chat. So you can actually run the audio on its own server, if you want, to distribute it all. And even the physics is distributed in that actually the server hands out pieces of the world to simulate to clients. It's a quite interesting idea that I'm not sure is entirely stable, but, well, it's there. It supports Oculus Rift and HTC Vive. There is experimental support for the Quest and for Android, but it's not entirely stable yet. It still needs work. It runs on Windows, Linux, and OS X, of course. And it's written in modern C++ and scriptable in JavaScript, so it's actually quite convenient. If anybody here worked with Second Life, for instance, it's much, much better in that regard. Second Life is a huge pain to develop for. All right. So since this is a gaming we have a gaming subject here, what's the gaming potential? Well, it's a 3D engine with VR, scripting, voice chat, and networking. You can set up your own infrastructure. It's not a centralized thing, so you can just host it yourself and do whatever you want. Everything can be scripted, including the UI. And, well, it's not in itself a gaming engine. It's more a social world in which you can make games. So think, for instance, creating games in Second Life or in Minecraft. The idea is that you have an existing world in which you already have users, and you are just kind of adding games on top of that because, well, you already have your virtual neighbors or whatever, and you want to play chess with them, or you could make certainly something more complicated. Right, so I'm going to show you a couple very short videos about what it looks like. Have in mind, most of us are developers, we aren't graphics artists, so actually it's the project has had some trouble attracting artists due to its very open nature, in that in Second Life artists can control very well their creations, their distribution, and their usage. Here it doesn't work like that. Philip Rosedale wanted to create the kind of web browser of VR, in that it's pretty much like trying to protect images on a web page. You can just copy it. Assets are loaded over HTTP. So, right. So here's a VR point of view. We have this tablet kind of thing, with which you can manage the entire interface. It needs some work. But, well, it does everything. I mean, you can get into, you can use the entire functionality from there, get into the debug menus. So it's quite complete in that regard. All right. One piece of functionality that I quite like is that there is the concept of zones. What are those? You can split, you can define parts of the world in which the environment changes. So, for instance, one thing that I found very lacking in Second Life in that you can't create a dark basement in there because, well, the world has a global lighting, and that's always the same. In under the high fidelity technology, you can just